Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nourished Athlete Podcast. I am your host, clinical nutritionist Amanda Fitt. Super excited to share with you the conversation I had today with my friend Casey Westbrook. We had a very, very fun conversation on the topic of cycle syncing. And if you're unfamiliar with what cycle syncing is, this is really just the notion of changing what you do, whether it be your training, your workouts, your nutrition, your life, basically syncing all of this to your menstrual cycle. This has been a super trendy topic on social media over the last few years. There's even as far as full-blown cycle syncing programs that are being sold and marketed to women. And I think that Casey and myself have a really unique and interesting perspective on this from working with hundreds of women hands-on every single day. I think we have a really great insight into, is this practical? Is this not practical? And how can we really use cycle syncing to our either advantage or disadvantage? So now just a little bit about our special guest, Casey. So Casey is a strength and conditioning coach for female outdoor athletes. She's motivated by her personal experiences with injuries, overtraining, and burnout. She's dedicated to helping women improve their strength, performance, and longevity in adventure sports. Casey believes in the transformational power of smart training and aims to empower women to stay injury-free and active now and well until their later years of life. Casey is a joy. She is so knowledgeable, and I have no doubt that you are going to get something tangible out of this episode. So without any further ado, let's dive in. Okay. Yay. Are you ready to get started?
Yeah, let's get started.
Amazing. Awesome. I'm so glad to have you here, Casey.
Me too. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for being here. Yes. We're going to talk about something fun today. We're going to talk about cycle syncing with workouts and food and all the things. But before we kind of dive into that piece, I would love to hear just a little bit more about you from your own mouth in terms of like what you do, who you work with. So tell us all the things.
So I'm Casey Westbrook and I am a strength and conditioning coach. I work with outdoorsy and adventurous women who want to get stronger, perform better, and they want to keep doing what they're doing for the next 20, 30 years. Like, we want to be crushing it in our 80s, and a big focus on injury prevention. And me personally, I'm a mountain biker, runner. I love lifting weights. I have two dogs. That's me.
I love it. I love that your focus is on longevity. I mean, I think that's huge. Like, I want to be doing my activities for, like you said, years and years and come for the next, 20, 30, 40 years, all the things. And I don't think that is emphasized a lot in both like the fitness or the nutrition world. And so I love that that's a focus for you. Out of curiosity, like, why is that a focus for you? Like, why is that so important overall?
Yeah, I think, in my 20s, I think so many women can relate to this, like the things that we do coming like out of our teens into our 20s, like it's a lot of dieting, over-exercising, if you're an active woman. And when we look like, this is the stuff I was learning in schools, like this is so harmful to our health, our bone density, muscle mass, like longevity wise. But it's also what we spend our 20s doing is just like not nourishing ourselves and like grinding ourselves into the ground. So just like that history of like not taking care of my body and knowing that that does have a lot like impact on my future. And then also looking at my mom and my grandmother and just their experiences with aging, like women in their 80s in the majority of at least this country didn't get the experience of being active and taking care of their body. It was like, how thin can I be? How small can I be? And that has like huge impacts on our health and well-being long-term. So I just really want something different for myself and for our generation. Because I think, the outcomes could be so different for us. Like, what could longevity look like for us compared to the women who came before us?
Looking at kind of the generation before us, I think is really eye-opening. Totally, I could not agree more. And wanting kind of a different path and kind of speaking to, what we did to ourselves in our 20s, because I can totally relate to that. Like nothing was sustainable, and I see that even now too. A lot of the things, whether that be fitness or nutrition, or I mean, sometimes even lifestyle that women are trying to pursue are just not sustainable. And that's a really tricky thing to, it's a tricky trap to fall into. And so I think anything that we can do, and you do this so beautifully to really promote that, no, we're going to do this stuff for life. So how can we support our bodies to make that happen? I think it's just incredibly powerful. So I love that. I love it. I love it. And I'm so curious. I mean, I've thought about this cycle syncing thing for a long time, but I saw you chat about it on Instagram. So I'm curious, what kind of inspired you to talk about this? And I'm just curious as to like why you feel like this is such an important topic to touch on.
I think, in the last like 5 or 10 years, women have gotten like really excited to learn more about their bodies. And part of that is understanding the menstrual cycle, which is something like most of us were never ever taught. Even in my like master's and undergraduate programs, like it was like kind of a, if we have extra time thing, we'll talk about this. And so many women are like, oh wait, like this is important and I have control over my health. And this is a huge, huge piece of that is like understanding how your body works. And out of this has come this movement of like, well, maybe everything in our life should cycle around our menstrual cycle. Our business, I think I hear it a lot with business, with nutrition, with exercise, with social gatherings. And I think, there's some validity in like understanding your cycle, but do we really need to make adjustments every week to what we're doing? Like, is that sustainable? Is that realistic? And with most people, like not even meeting like nutrition or physical activity, like guidelines or recommendations, do we need to be like disrupting everything every like 7 days?
No, that's a really good way to put it. And I mean, just so people are like really clear on what cycle syncing is, I guess define for us a little bit, like what are we seeing? Like what is cycle syncing? And what are some of these people kind of preaching? And why are they preaching it? Just to give like a little bit more background for people curious about it.
So cycle syncing is syncing many aspects of your life to the different phases in your menstrual cycle. So there are four phases. You have the menstrual phase, that's the bleeding phase, follicular, ovulation, and luteal phase. So there are these four phases associated with like what's happening with the hormones in our body. And the idea is that there's this idea that we can optimize our health by syncing our fitness and food, whatever, to what's happening with the hormones in our body. I think there are some people that maybe can benefit from this, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But for the most part, the recommendations that I see with cycle syncing aren't necessarily like aligned with what the research shows in terms of what is possible for us in terms of exercise. So, for example, these are the recommendations I see for fitness, and maybe we can talk about the nutrition side. Is during the menstrual phase, we should like not really be doing anything. We should be chilling, doing yoga, like stretching, breathing. Luteal phase, like similar, like bring the intensity down. Ovulatory phase, we should be doing like HIIT, high intensity stuff. Follicular is like strength training is generally what I see recommended, like on social media and from people who promote cycle syncing. So we can talk about like when, wait, should we be doing this? Like, what does the research say? And some other considerations. But yeah, I'm curious what do people recommend on the nutrition side? I feel like I've seen like seed cycling is the main one that I see. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few, I think it's definitely a little bit more abundant in the fitness space, right? In movement, you know, really changing what you're doing to match the different phases of your cycle. From a food space, I definitely also see cycles or seed cycling. It's something that I've tried too. It's got a great, and all these things, you know, backing up a little bit, like all of these things have great intentions, right? I mean, like you said, like women are wanting to learn more about their bodies. They're wanting to, you know, sync their lives with the menstrual cycle because, as we'll kind of maybe touch on too in a little bit, like there are obviously these different phases. And I mean, that is the beauty about cycling is we do experience different things at different times in our cycles. But really what we're diving into is should we actually be changing the things that we're doing in our daily lives from a food or a fitness perspective? Like, is that actually practical or is there any like actual utility of doing so? But from a food space, yeah, I've seen the seed cycling. I've also seen things like, you know, doing different things from a food perspective in the luteal phase, so like the time right before your period. For example, we are less sensitive to insulin during that time of our cycle. So, you know, some people will talk about like lowering or like limiting carbs or eating like higher protein, higher fat. That's one thing that I hear. But yeah, there's so many different schools of thought out there. But at the end of the day, yeah, is it practical? Like, is this actually making our lives better or is it not? But I just so I because I love again, I love education. I would love for people to have more insight into like what their cycle is. Casey, do you have any insight or just want to share like what are some things that maybe you experience during the different times of your cycle? And yeah, I'm just curious to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, so I've had a range of experiences across my life. I feel fairly fortunate, and you know, there's some factors in my control here, but I've had a pretty mellow cycle my whole life. Not a ton of symptoms or fluctuations in my energy or like comfort levels. And I've had times where they've been really uncomfortable. But during the menstrual phase, things that I've experienced is like that first 1 or 2 days, just like some more like sensitivity in my lower back, which, you know, some people experience more like ligament laxity during different phases of their cycle. So that tracks. Our hormones definitely disrupt, like, or can influence the laxity of our ligaments, which connect bone to bone, and tendons, which connect muscle to bone. Luteal phase, feeling like more stressed, more anxious, maybe a little more tired, maybe some like sensations of like cramping. And then during ovulation, for sure, feeling like more energized and excited. For me, this shows up as like I'm feeling more excited to socialize with other people in fitness, not necessarily a huge difference. And then follicular phase, like not a ton of adjustments in fitness, but like feeling more focused and things like that overall. But other things I've heard from clients is, you know, menstrual phase can be just absolutely brutal for them. They're exhausted, they can't get out of bed. Fitness is like, are you? I like, don't even talk to me about that. That's like totally out of reach, similar in luteal. But then I have women who, during ovulation, experience a ton of pain. So everyone has a really different experience, and it's really, you know, can you get to know what's happening with you? My awareness really came around this by tracking my cycle. Like, when am I bleeding? When are things happening? What am I feeling like? How does that affect my performance? I'm curious to hear if you've had any experiences. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I ask because I think that is kind of step one to all of this. That's like take action step. Take one is like learn what you are experiencing during the different phases of your cycle. And I am a huge promoter of tracking as well. For me personally, so I kind of have a little different experience or perspective per se. I was on birth control and oral contraceptive for half of my life for most of my reproductive years. And so for the past now almost 2 years we're going on, it's almost been like of me not being on a hormonal birth control anymore. It's been like an awakening of like learning what my body does or should be happening naturally of being off of it and like cycling again and experiencing all the things. And it's been like so cool. It's been such a journey to like learn these different things about myself.
Yeah, for me personally, what I've learned and experienced is, the 7 to 5 days before my cycle is definitely the roughest. I definitely tend to feel a little bit lower energy. I'm a little bit moodier. I'm definitely less inclined to or maybe the better way to put it is I have less get up and go, especially my workouts. I definitely am a little bit more anxious. I'm a rock climber and I can feel a lot more anxious climbing than I would at different phases of my cycle. As compared to the few days leading up to ovulation, I do kind of feel like a rock star. I'm definitely more social. I could definitely output a little bit more energy or power or fire in my workouts. I feel way more confident climbing. Yeah, first couple days of my cycle, sometimes I'm a little bit lower, maybe a little crampier, but it's not as bad as the couple days leading up to it. So that's kind of what I've experienced personally. Oh, I will say too, from a food perspective, I do get a little bit hungrier sometimes leading up to my period, which is totally normal, by the way. That's a part of kind of this whole cycle syncing thing too. And some people's recommendations is we actually burn a little bit more calories at rest in our luteal phase in that period leading up to our actual period itself, because of progesterone, it raises your basal body temperature. And so you actually need more calories in that period of time. Sometimes you might have more cravings. I definitely kind of experience that sometimes too. And again, it's because of these fluctuations in hormones overall. But I'm a huge fan of know yourself first. That way you can just have more information and kind of start to decipher this whole cycle syncing thing. Do you change what you do based off your own experience? But yeah, the first part is knowing your own experience and tracking that kind of stuff. So I love that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so interesting here, the food perspective, because one of the biggest things I think is really common here is like, I'm having all these cravings, like why can't I control myself during like luteal menstrual phase?
And just knowing that, it allows you a little bit of grace too. And with your workouts as well. You're like, if you know how this works, if you know that I might be feeling a little bit low or RPE is a little bit higher than normal, it's because it's normal, right? And just being able to kind of work with that information and then adjust, I think is really powerful overall.
Totally.
Well, I mean, I would love to hear more. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Where should we go from here? Should you kind of talk about, I don't know. Tell me, Casey, what do you think in regards to the
Ooh,
cycle,
where
the
do we want to
sinking
go?
thing? Yeah, where do we want to
I would say, like, how do we adjust? Like, should you jump into like a cycle syncing program or a nutrition program, or should you just start tracking first? Like, what should you do in this situation? I think, there's not really a pro. I think so. For me, a big part of my journey was I did try cycle syncing workouts. So, taking it easy during the menstrual and luteal phase, like hitting some harder workouts during ovulation and follicular, just to experiment and like see what happened. And I did it for a couple months. And so I think it's like good to like whatever gets you into tracking your cycle, if like doing it with your fitness is like what's motivating you to like start learning more about it, get after it, and then start being aware of like, okay, is what I'm experiencing actually relating to the recommendations I'm having during this time. So just start like asking yourself questions. How is my effort feeling? How is my energy feeling? Am I like relating to this? Because your cycle isn't going to be anything like the woman next to you. So that is one option. But also like, yeah, start listening. Like ultimately just start tapping into like what is your body saying, sharing with you? Where are you at?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, kind of start tracking, start listening, like you said, asking yourself those questions, both from like an energy perspective, how you're feeling in your workouts. You could even extend this to food too, right? Like how are your hunger and fullness cues changing, cravings, all that kind of stuff over the cycle too. From like a practicality sense too, right? Like you create training plans for people. I guess why maybe isn't it, because you've tried cycle syncing, why maybe isn't it super practical to design a workout plan for a woman based off of their cycle? I'm curious to hear your kind of insight on that.
Yeah, I think as outdoor athletes, like we definitely have seasons to our sport, right? Like I can't be like in Bend, we aren't mountain biking all year round. So I have like this half a year window to ride. So am I going to like spend a quarter of that time like not doing anything? I'm not going to be stoked on that. First of all. And then if you compete at all, are you like, it doesn't make sense to stop training for a quarter of the year. Like you're missing out. And when we look at athletes, you know, at the higher level, even any level, like they're not stop not training for a quarter of their cycle. It's gonna like, if you want to be competitive, it's gonna set you back, first of all. And two, if you're just doing this stuff for enjoyment, like you're just missing out on like 25% of like the fun time. And that doesn't really make sense. Last reason, like if you struggle with consistency at all, stopping for a week is going to make it so much harder to be consistent. So just doesn't make sense from like many standpoints.
Yeah, I love that last piece on consistency. I mean, habit building is so hard to do already. I mean, even as, yeah, like us in kind of this like recreational space, like we're not professionals. You know, we have like day jobs per se, but we love to do the activities and we care and we want to do them well. You know, we train for them and all the things. Yeah, like I don't want to miss out on a day climbing just because, you know, I'm leading up to ovulation, or I mean, I'm leading up to my period per se. I might change what I do a little bit. Maybe we can talk about how we can kind of, you know, adjust as needed. But yeah, I'm not going to schedule out something a month in advance to, you know, not do a HIIT workout in my luteal phase just because I'm not supposed to. You know, I'm not a fan of kind of living by the external rules out there. Like, I really do think we need to tune back into our bodies and get a better understanding of what we can or should or shouldn't do based on that information, not like an external set of rules, if that kind of makes sense or if that resonates at all.
Totally, 100%. Like, listen, I think like listen to your body is like, what is your body saying? Not like, what is someone else telling you is the right thing to do?
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
you can probably relate to like giving people nutrition plans just because like this looks good on paper doesn't mean it works for your body.
1,000%. Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. Yeah. Something can look real good on paper. Yeah.
looks so
Yeah. Yeah. And too,
good.
like you had mentioned in the beginning, Casey, regarding like a lot of people are not meeting the minimum requirements of weekly, daily physical activity, or even some of these nutrition recommendations too. And so to just completely like throw a wrench in something or just recommend like a walk when someone really could do a very productive strength training session, for example, like I don't think that is great blanket advice to be giving out to people, to be completely honest with you. I'll just, yeah.
100%. Yeah. I think like you and I, we get to live in these worlds of like nutrition and like movement. And for us who like we live in these worlds, it is more realistic to like change things up every week because we just live this world. Like, but most of us, our brains are occupied with like a full-time job and like community and sports. Like, that's not realistic for you to like just like upheave everything and be like, okay, now what do I need to be doing? Like, we don't need more on our plate.
We don't need more. I agree. I agree. Yeah. So I'm so curious to hear your thoughts. Like, what would you do? Let's say you have a workout planned in, you know, let's do a two different examples here. So let's say you have a workout planned, like when you're feeling your best, like around ovulation, you personally or something. And then let's say you have another workout planned, like right before your period. How would you adjust in any one given direction what you do in that given session, depending on how you're feeling?
Yeah, totally. So this relates, yeah, to your period, but also like we could talk about other situations where this applies. In my training, I use a system called RPE or rating of perceived exertion. It's a 1 through 10 scale. 1 is like nothing, 10 is like max effort. We're using that to judge what kind of effort do we want to put into this session. There's a general number range based on where you're at in your training, where you're going to be lifting or how fast you're going to be moving, et cetera, what your heart rate's going to be like. During a phase, maybe like ovulation, maybe it's a time where I'm feeling really good. And the prescribed workout is I want to do a set of 5 back squats at an 8 out of 10 effort. So pretty hard. During that phase, I'm going to probably be able to lift heavier than maybe a day in luteal where I'm like, I feel like a little sluggish, a little lower energy. And RPE8 might be a little bit lighter weight. Effort is still the same, still hard. The weight just looks different. So we can still hit that same effort level, which is the goal. it's just tapping into like, where is your body on that day? How are you going to hit that effort? So that is one strategy that I use for training. The other part is, what's your main priority in your session? For me, it's generally my heaviest lift. Just from a longevity standpoint, it has a ton of benefits for muscle mass, bone density, et cetera, for a strength session. Let's say I'm not feeling great that day. I don't have a ton of energy and I only have enough to like hit my main lift and then get out of there. I'm going to just shorten my session, get in when I can, and then get out, and you'll be fine. Like, you're not going to lose fitness because you hit one workout. Like, you didn't do the whole thing. And you're going to hit the same workout next week. So you're going to be fine. Then the third strategy I use is like, can I move things around? If you're someone who doesn't have like, yeah, if you have like a heavy session on like a particularly low energy day or day you feel particularly bad, can you change that to a rest day or a chiller session and move that harder workout to a different day where you know, hey, I know in a couple of days I'm going to feel better and I'm going to be able to put in the intensity that I want to in this workout and get out of it what I want.
I love that. So you are changing possibly the weight or like what you're doing, right? The intensity. So you're getting kind of that desired RPE, but the, you know, the what you're doing or the weight just might look a little different than during a different phase of your cycle, right? You might be moving a day around, like adjusting. Yeah, could I do this on another day and then kind of opt for, yeah, more of like a mobility or just like a chill session or a rest day, God forbid, right? That happens sometimes too. I love that. And then what was the other one?
Shorten the session, like
Shorten the
just
session,
hit,
priority.
yeah, the priority of the day. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. And that, like, going through that too, I think just makes you very, what's the word that I'm thinking of? Accountable, I guess, or responsible for like what you're doing. You know, like it really allows you to be like a participant and like get the most out of your sessions. And yeah, you can use this strategy for even beyond your cycle too. You know, I think that's a really great way for you to get involved and like stay on top of what you need more of, what you need less of. Like I think that's really empowering overall too, as a human being and an athlete overall.
Totally. Yeah, 100%. I think it takes away the like perfectionism, or it requires us to work on perfectionism, which I see a lot in like athletes. Like, we want to do it right and we need to be flexible if that we're going to do this forever.
Yeah, I love that. And maybe I'll share an example too of like, you know, I'll take climbing again as an example. So, you know, I just won't not show up for a day of climbing or, you know, whether it be outside or inside, but I will maybe sometimes adjust what I do. Like, and what I've learned to do too is not go in with expectations. Like, I don't like to go in to a climbing day outside, for example, a few days before my period and be like, oh, I'm gonna feel really scared today because I'm about to get my period. Like, I don't like to do that because it's not, I don't think it's a good way to really then kind of tune into what's actually going on that particular day because you never know, right? Ever things are changing, bodies are different. It's never going to be the same. And so let's say if I do go in and I like maybe climb a first pitch or something, I'm like, ooh, I am feeling maybe a little nervous, a little shaky, a little off. You know, I'll still do what I want to do, but maybe it just might look a little different. So maybe I will like stick clip through the scary crux so I don't take that scary whip or fall today. Or maybe I'll just opt to just do like mileage on really easy terrain where I'm not like pushing my anxiety button or anything like that. You know, so I'm still out doing the thing, but I can always adjust too. And yeah, like when I'm feeling really good, like in my follicular phase, like leading up to ovulation, maybe I will do like an extra spin workout. You know, maybe I will hop on the Peloton or maybe I will go for like an extra long trail run because I'm feeling good and jazz and I'll take advantage of that time too. So yeah, it really does boil down to like what feels good intuitively. And I know that's not always really easy to quantify. So that's why I love your like RPE and like these tangible tips and adjustments to really make these shifts for yourself. So I think that's awesome.
Totally. Yeah. It's so fun. You think relating to mountain biking too, it's like, yeah, adjust. Like, how risky are you feeling today? And there's just some days where just like, I'm not feeling it on a feature that you've hit before. And you don't need to expect yourself to be the same every day because we're not the same person every day for a lot of reasons, including our hormones, but also life, stress, work. How did you sleep? How did you like nourish yourself today? So allowing yourself to not be the same every day. you're not the same person every day.
Yeah, 1000%. I love that so much. And you know,
Yeah.
maybe what we can just kind of end on too is like, because we haven't really touched on this too, why cycle syncing has even been kind of thrown out there in the first place. Like I'm thinking of, you know, some people who promote cycle syncing out there are trying to kind of like negate the negative effects of our cycle, like training hard or doing HIIT in our luteal phase is like a bad thing, for example. Or like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just curious if you have any
Yeah,
tips for
why
kind
is
of
this a
like
thing?
debunking, yeah, debunking some of those myths overall.
Yeah, I think I'm not totally sure where it comes from. I think from a marketing standpoint, it just like really grabs women. Like it's interesting, it's new, it's novel, and like maybe I think it is like it's a good marketing strategy, is the first thing. And so remember that. Two, it's this idea that like I think it plays on this idea that women are fragile, and that our cycle makes us fragile during different phases and that we're not capable. I think it really plays on that, which I don't think is fair. I think we're capable of anything at any time, and we see athletes at all level do crazy stuff during all parts of their cycle. Like people PR during their menstrual phase and like through all of the phases. So your body is capable of anything. But I think it also plays on this reality that a lot of women do have like really, really uncomfortable and painful cycles. That is a reality in our culture. And I think it plays on this idea that maybe that's just the way it is for us. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair that we just tell women that your cycle is going to be bad until you hit menopause. And then you'll go through that and then it'll be over. There are people out there who understand and can help you improve your symptoms so that your life isn't just like thrown for a loop once a month. There are solutions out there. There are people who know how to help you and improve your cycle. I think that's a big thing to take away too, is just because it hurts now, it doesn't mean it has to be like that forever.
1000%. Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah. I mean, I really do think the cycle syncing thing, again, albeit good intentions, right? Like, it is important to rest. Like, it is important to listen to your body. And also, we're not fragile. We can do shit, right? We can do cool shit, depending on
Yeah.
no matter where you are. But yes, like if your cycles really are that debilitating, cycle syncing is a band-aid and it's not actually investigating the root cause of what is driving you to have these symptoms in the first place. That's not allowing you to participate in the things that you want to do in these various phases. So I could not agree more. This is a huge, yeah, plug for dive into to what's driving these painful cycles in the first place and really investigate from that standpoint. I'm also going to throw out there too that if you are well fed and if you have your nutrition dialed, if you are listening to your body when you are more hungry, eating more food, if you're fueling appropriately before, during, and after your workouts, we can also really start to kind of negate some of these negative, let's call them quote unquote side effects of working out in your luteal phase, for example. You know, I really do think it boils down to, yeah, being well nourished, like you said, you know, well rested, getting good sleep, all the things, you're hydrated. That all plays a huge role in this as well. It's not always just, you know, adjust your workouts accordingly. You know, there's so many different variables.
Totally. Yeah, working out is just one piece, and like you need to recover, which is so much of like what you do, which is like, yeah, the nutrition piece. And I think it gets overlooked a lot in terms of like, yeah, recovery. Progressing, performing better.
Totally. Yeah. Yay. Well, are there any final thoughts that you want to leave folks on this topic or anything in general that you just kind of want to wrap up with?
No, I think, like take control, like you have power over your health and your well-being, and there's so much information out there, and there's so many amazing professionals who are excited to support you in your training and your health and understanding your body.
Yes. Yay, I love that. And if people want to learn more about you share such good content on Instagram. Like, how can people find you or how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at KCM Westbrook. That's the best way to connect with me.
Thank you for listening. That was such a fun conversation to have. I hope you got something out of it. I know I certainly did. If you are interested in working with Casey, make sure you check out her Instagram. She has an option to chat with her for a complimentary discovery call. That way you can get a feel for what she's all about and how she can help you. And when it comes down to strategic programming and getting the most out of your training plans, having them work with you, not against you, especially when it comes to something like your menstrual cycle, you're definitely going to want to work with someone intelligent and super knowledgeable like Casey. And if you are struggling with your periods, whether it be painful periods, PMS, ovulation pain, anxiety, moodiness, whatever it might be, reach out to me. I would love to help you troubleshoot these issues. I help women, especially outdoor athletes, overcome hormone symptoms all the time. We do this through diet, we do this through lifestyle, and for many people, some in-depth hormone testing as well to really get to the root of their issues. So if this all concerns you, feel free to fill out one of my coaching inquiry forms and I'll be in touch to help answer questions and again, set up a time to chat. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in and until next time.